This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Hello, this is the February 18th edition of Queer Voices. We're in pledge drive, so we are anticipating your support. The collective that's here tonight includes me, Deborah Bell.
And Jennifer Renee.
And Brian with an I, Erickson. Brian with a Y, Levinka.
And Glenn Holt. And on tonight's show, Lesbian Affairs, where we discuss the specifics of lesbian lives and activities and the issues facing the community. Tonight's topic is breast cancer and the breast cancer support group at the Montrose Counseling Center with guest Susan Romanelli. Girl Shorts TV. It's a new concept, an online film festival. Deborah and Brian will talk with the producers. Texas voters have a chance to influence the directions of the Republican and Democratic presidential races in the March 4th primaries. Jennifer will look at the precinct convention process of the Democratic Party. If you ever wanted to be a girly, just like your dear papa, it's the annual Lone Star Volleyball Classic, Miss LSVA pageant, this weekend at Meteor. Diana Fernandez will be there to bring us up to date on that event and the upcoming LSVC volleyball tournament. And that's a tournament, that's their 18th annual tournament, all of which benefits Stone Soup Houston. The Montrose Starbucks is having their fourth annual silent auction benefiting AIDS Foundation Houston on February 29th. And our regular weekly features from This Way Out, including News Wrap. But first, a very important announcement about the future of this program and all of the programs you like to listen to here at KPFT.
Well, it's as simple as this, folks. We're commercial-free, listener-sponsored. That means you foot the bill to keep this radio station going. You don't have to listen to ads for old toothpaste, our cleaning products, our TV.
Viagra.
Don't you love those Viagra commercials? Those are just too, I love the Viva Viagra. That is just so cute. And the analogies they have, like, you know, throwing the football through the tire.
Beer commercials. All of that stuff. You don't have to do that here.
No.
This is all about you getting in, reaching into your pocket and pulling out some money or your credit card or a checkbook and calling the station and telling, we support KPFT and its programming, and here's my check to support it.
Saying I want to be a listener sponsor, you know. I know for the first few years when I started listening to KPFT, I didn't listen to just one program. I listened to several of them throughout the day, you know, and it just made sense. You know, great programming, programs like this, Queer Voices, need to be supported, you know, and simple contributions of $35 and more, I mean, are just wonderful. You can send in anything you can.
That's right. You can pledge in so many different ways, like $10 a month. You can pledge a one-time amount, say just $100. There's premiums available. And when you call 713-526-5738, also known as 713-526-KPFT. Then one of the great volunteers will take your call and they'll walk you through the process. You might belong to a company that offers matching funds for pledges.
That's right.
That'd be great.
Check with your company if that's the case.
You can even, you know, extend.
And when you do call in, please, you know, just tell them this is for Queer Voices. We want to support Queer Voices when you send in that donation. And it's important because then they know that you're one of our listeners and you support this program.
One of the things that I think is so important is on this program, we really try to highlight what all the groups in the community are doing, what the current news is, what's happening politically. And there's been a lot of people that said, you know, we got some people that came to our thing because they heard about it on Queer Voices. Or, boy, that sure was interesting what I found out about that political issue on Queer Voices. And, you know, it's going to influence how I look at certain things. And if you're one of those people that in some way this program has touched your life, then you call 713-526-5738 and make your pledge. I don't know what our goal is for tonight, but all we can get. It's a small thing to ask. If all you can give us $5, then give that $5, and then you'll know that you did your part. We're volunteers here. There's a very small paid staff.
None of which are us.
None of which really is starting to chap my hide.
But we
really appreciate so much each of you sometimes people just send a little, I got a note, from someone who won the tickets for Love Janice that we gave away.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And they sent a thank you note. And I thought, well, that was nice because
that was
so
very
often
nice.
We don't get even a thank you.
No, they were reared right.
That's right.
Their mama taught them something right.
And people will say, I appreciate what you do. Tim Brookover and Nancy Ford over at Outsmart, they're usually busy on Monday nights trying to work on the magazine.
Absolutely.
They listen to us online the next day at www.kpft.org.
Yeah, go to the archives and look up Queer Voices.
That's right. And so then, you know, they comment about what they heard on Queer Voices.
And sometimes even report on it.
Yes. And
it's even nicer.
And there's...
it's so easy to make the donations. I mean, it's easy and painless. It takes 90 seconds of your time to get on the line with, you know, one of the phone volunteers. And, you know, you can even set up things like electronic funds transfer, you know, on a monthly basis, you know, and you can have that money just taken straight from your account. You'll never even know it was there, you know.
And we can thank you on the air if you like or not. You might want to donate anonymously. That's a big family, the anonymous family.
I know.
I mean, some people just don't like to, you know, it's like, I'm giving you money and that's fine.
Just don't tell anybody.
Yeah, well, it's not even so much that. They just don't feel the need. Other people like me and Jennifer, yeah, were like, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee.
Look at me.
Yeah.
I gave a dollar on Brian with an I.
not to say those of you out there that when we're talking about you can give a, you know, so much a month or a check, we appreciate any donation or any pledge to KPFT supporting our program or any of the other programs on KPFT. But you don't have to stop there. You can write a $500 check, and if you've got it, write a $1,000 check, because it's going to the best cause you can think of. That is public radio. That is us. That's all the wonderful program that you hear every day, 24 hours a day. This is the best place to listen. You don't have to listen to commercials. You just have to listen to us.
And if you're really lucky, you don't have to listen so much to us. You can listen to This Way Out. You can listen to great music, the programming that JD puts together for Queer Music Heritage. You can hear voices from the community about the community, such as what we have coming up tonight, talking about the issue of lesbians and breast cancer and the support group that they have over at the Montrose Counseling Center.
Absolutely.
One of the many fine programs they have there. We're going to be talking with Girl Shorts TV, which is, you know, with the new technology and having the internet and being able to do such a thing as a film festival online.
Oh, yeah.
The very important, and this is why Mr. Valinsky is not with us tonight, working on the political process. We're going to have some Stonewall Democrats here to talk about the March 4th primary.
And not to forget that 19th. That's tomorrow. Early voting begins in the primary.
Right. And as we were emphasizing at the Hillary Clinton campaign kickoff today, we get to vote twice. And it's really important for people to remember.
In the Democratic primary.
In the Democratic primary, which is really the only one we're concerned about because the platform of the other party is anti-GLBT. So
I've read that.
So we're not even going to go there. But you vote.
Don't they have the internment camps and stuff like that in the Republican?
You vote early or you vote on March 4th. And then at 7:15 p.m. on March 4th, you go back and vote again and sign in as a delegate.
That's right.
And that's how we're going to make a difference in this political process. We also get to pass resolutions. Then we're going to be talking about volleyball. I mean, talk about a diverse programming.
Quite a segue. From politics to volleyball, it seems like a perfect segue.
And then Ryan's going to talk to some folks over at Starbucks.
You know, and who else is going to have somebody come down from Starbucks and talk about, you know, raising money for AIDS Foundation Houston, you know, but a program like Queer Voices, you know, because that's a concern of ours. It's a local concern in our community, and we want to help make a contribution, let people know what's going
on.
And
having a local merchant that doesn't just, you know, make money from us, but says we're part of the community, too. And I think the Hawthorne at Montrose is like the top grossing Starbucks in Houston, if not the country.
I know that the two of us in this room went down there tonight and are drinking
right.
our Starbucks.
Well, I just
tonight.
Hope
that's
they bring
right.
me my grande chai tea latte with the extra chai when they come.
Hopefully
anyway,
they're listening.
But the important thing is,
Kevin,
is before we go to news wrap from this way out, please call during that time. Make your pledge of support, 713-526-5738.
713-526-KPFT.
Call now.
I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Rick Watts.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending February 16th, 2008. Government attacks on gay men seem to be on the rise in African and Middle East regions of the world. Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International are jointly condemning the detention of at least 12 men in Cairo, Egypt, following homosexuality-related arrests or convictions in the past few months. Two men having a strident argument on the street were arrested last October when one of them told police officers he was HIV positive. They were handcuffed to a desk for 4 days in the office of the Morality Police and subjected to anal probes and forced HIV testing. They each tested positive and reportedly remain in custody in a hospital, handcuffed to beds 23 hours a day. Because the first two men carried their phone numbers or photographs, two more men were later arrested. They were also force-tested for HIV and are reportedly still in custody pending the possible filing of charges. According to a subsequent Human Rights Watch report, four more men were arrested in November after they moved into an apartment together. They were deprived of food, drink, and blankets, also force-tested for HIV, and convicted of the habitual practice of debauchery in January. Each was sentenced to a year in prison. The convictions were upheld on appeal on February 2nd. People like you should be burnt alive, a prosecutor reportedly told one of the men. You do not deserve to live. The most recent arrests occurred after police used information coerced from men already in detention, according to the Health and Human Rights Program of the Cairo-based Egyptian Initiative for Personal Rights. Two of those four men also reportedly tested positive for HIV. Rebecca Schleifer of Human Rights Watch's HIV/AIDS and Human Rights Program charged that in their misguided attempt to apply Egypt's unjust law on homosexual conduct, authorities are carrying on a crackdown against people living with HIV/AIDS, making it dangerous for anyone to seek information about HIV prevention or treatment. This week's joint statement by Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch called for the immediate release of all the detainees, urged Egyptian authorities to respect their human rights, and to assure that each receives good medical care for any serious health conditions.
Police in Senegal fired tear gas to disperse anti-gay demonstrators outside Dakar's main mosque on February 15th, according to a Reuters report, following the release of several men who'd been arrested after their photos at a so-called gay wedding were published in a popular gossip magazine. Piles of trash were burned in several blocks around the mosque, while groups of stone-throwing young people barricaded roads shouting, "We don't want homosexuals." Local newspapers have given front-page coverage to the photos and arrests. Radio phone-ins have been flooded by calls, most of them strongly anti-gay. Homosexuality is illegal in the West African country. Most people in the former French colony consider homosexuality to be un-African and a psychological disorder imported by Europeans. While he's a minority in the predominantly Muslim nation, Christian evangelical pastor Michel Andrade, who was at the Dakar demonstration, told Reuters that the sacred texts are against it. Men of God don't tolerate it.
Lawmakers in the Gulf state of Bahrain are calling for a nationwide purge of gay men and the deportation of foreigners suspected of being gay. The country held its first ever elections in 2002, and politicians in the bicameral parliament, dominated by Shia and Sunni Islamist parties, have mainly addressed moral issues such as banning female mannequins from shop windows and fighting what they call the widespread problem of sorcery. The Foreign Affairs, Defense, and National Security Committee is now supporting proposals to tighten immigration checks to prevent foreign gay men from entering the country. Committee Secretary Jalal Fairouz told the Gulf Daily News that they look manly as they come to the airport, but when they get in, they return back to their unaccepted homosexual attitudes. He said that gays are dangerous and a threat to our society and Islamic values. The committee is also recommending a study to determine how widespread homosexuality is in the country. The proposals will next be considered by the Bahrain Parliament's General Secretariat.
Meanwhile, LGBT groups from Spain, the Netherlands, and Brazil have been denied observer status that allows non-governmental organizations or NGOs to participate in proceedings at the United Nations. The late January vote of the NGO Committee of ECOSOC, the UN's Economic and Social Council, which assists the General Assembly, was a tie and therefore a loss for the applicants. Colombia, Dominica, Israel, Peru, Romania, the UK, and the US voted yes. Burundi, China, Egypt, Pakistan, Qatar, Russia, and Sudan voted no. Angola, Guinea, India, and Turkey abstained, while Cuba was not present. The committee's recommendations are generally rubber-stamped by the full 54-member nation, ECOSOC. Despite protracted and often contentious debate, consultative status has been granted during the past 2 years to five LGBT organizations: the European branch of the International Lesbian and Gay Association, or ILGA, national groups from Denmark, Sweden, and Germany, and the Gay and Lesbian Coalition of Quebec. ILGA, which has been encouraging and facilitating UN NGO consultative status applications by LGBT groups around the world, said of the latest rejections in a statement that the nature of the questions LGBT human rights defenders were asked by some committee members, repeatedly trying to link homosexuality and pedophilia, simply shows how far our stubborn opposition is ready to go to put obstacles before LGBT groups on their way to recognition as members of civil society.
But the Israeli government this week extended to same-gender couples the same adoption rights as their heterosexual counterparts. Prior to Attorney General Menachem Mazuz's announcement, the government had not allowed gays and lesbians to adopt children through the Welfare and Social Service Ministry's Child Welfare Service, and one partner in a same-gender relationship could only adopt the other's biological offspring. Welfare Minister Isaac Herzog first raised the issue of opening adoptions to gay and lesbian couples when he noticed that an increasing number of them had been filing applications. Mazuz emphasized that, as with heterosexuals, they'll be handled on a case-by-case basis.
Also in Israel, a Palestinian group that had been meeting at the Jerusalem Open House LGBT Center has decided to become an independent organization. Al-Qaz, or Rainbow, a first-ever Palestinian LGBT group, gained official status as a non-profit organization in November and renamed itself Al-Qaz for Sexual and Gender Diversity in the Palestinian Society. The group said in a press release that, "With this decision, our community begins a new journey with a committed leadership group and widespread local activists, friends, and supporters."
In other news, the Registry of Births, Deaths, and Marriages in the Australian state of Queensland this week agreed to accept a marriage application from a Brisbane lesbian couple. Sharon Dane and Elaine Crump went to the registry office on Valentine's Day and refused to leave unless their application was accepted, according to a press release by the LGBT advocacy group Australian Marriage Equality. The country's Marriage Act specifically restricts those unions to heterosexual couples, and Crump said in a statement that, "We were prepared for a stony reception, but were quite pleasantly surprised. The staff appeared extremely empathetic that they couldn't treat us like other couples who had turned up to the registry on Valentine's Day." A notice of intended marriage must be filed with the registry at least 1 month and 1 day prior to the date a couple plans to marry. The document is then valid for 18 months from the date of registry. Registry Development Officer Colin Wood said that if the Marriage Act is overturned within that time, not likely, the form would be valid and the couple would not be required to file a new one.
A lesbian couple in the U.S. state of Colorado wasn't so lucky when they tried to obtain a marriage license in the Denver Clerk and Recorder Office last September. Kate Burns and Sheila Schroeder of Englewood were arrested for refusing to leave when they were denied the certificate, and are scheduled to appear in court in April on trespassing charges. They filed suit this week to overturn a voter-approved ballot measure that amended the state constitution to outlaw same-gender marriage. 55% of Colorado voters approved Amendment 43 in 2006, which the couple suit argues is a violation of their equal protection rights. They also charge that its placement on the ballot was religiously motivated and had the effect of establishing religion. Marie Newman, the couple's attorney, told the Rocky Mountain News that the right to marriage is fundamental and that the government can't be telling us who we can and cannot marry.
And finally, in a Swedish reminder of the landmark coming-out installment of Ellen DeGeneres' TV show, codenamed by secretive writers as the Puppy episode, an appeals court in Stockholm this week found a kennel owner guilty of discrimination because she refused to sell a puppy to a lesbian. The kennel owner, 51-year-old Annette Scholholm, was guilty of discrimination in the form of harassment, the court said in its ruling, which upheld a lower court finding in 2006. It ordered her to pay a fine of 20,000 kroner, or about $3,100. Smila Bergström had contacted Scholholm to purchase one of the puppies she had advertised for sale. But when she mentioned that she lived with another woman, Scholholm refused to sell her the puppy. The kennel owner reportedly made it clear to Bergström that she didn't trust homosexuals and said she'd read that transvestites sexually abuse animals.
That's News Wrap for the week ending February 16th, 2008, written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Rick Watts.
Lesbian Affairs. Lesbian Affairs. Okay, well, now that I've gotten your attention, it's actually a segment discussing things about lesbians and their lives and such, and it's coming up next.
We caught lightning bugs, put them in a jar, poked a few holes in the lid, took them to the yard, watched them through the glass, the way they flow. That was summer to me. Under the big elm trees, that was summer to me. Standing in the moonlight, feeling the breeze, playing kick the can out in the streets. We rode our bikes hard till we had to come in, and that was summer to me. Under the big elm trees, that was summer to me. And we slept with all the windows wide, trying to stay cool. The nights were hot and sticky, and the days spent at the pool. And I could hear my mom and dad, with the TV turned way down. Feel the sheets, and the sweat on my brow, are all that I am left with right now. Listen to the cubbies on the radio waves, trying to hit a home run, playing against the Braves. When they were in Milwaukee, and that was long ago. But that was summer to me, under the big elm trees,
That was summer to me. And we slept with all the windows wide, trying to stay cool. The nights were hot and sticky, and the days spent at the pool. And I could hear my mom and dad with the TV turned way down, the feel of the sheets and the sweat on my brow, for all that I am left with right now, for all that I am left with right now.
Tret Fury from her new album, that was Summer to Me, and the name of the album is True Compass. This is Queer Voices.
Tret Fury was in town on Saturday night, and like many of us, fighting off an upper respiratory infection, but she did a great show, and this new album, True Compass, It has a lot of songs that are very significant, many of them talking about ancestry and relatives and growing up, such as that song, which I think is very nostalgic. It really made you think about the summertime and, you know, how you spent those days.
Well, it painted an image.
It does.
I was listening. I was painting an image. Well, it took me back to my childhood.
Well, Tret is really from... she's one of women's music's icons, but her roots are in folk music, and as any great folk singer is, they're great storytellers.
Absolutely.
And so anyway, but what a voice, and what a wonderful craft person she is with her instrument as well. And she certainly knows about lesbian affairs.
That's right.
And she
thinks, I want to hear about these lesbian affairs.
Well, I know. You want to have a lesbian affair. Mm-hmm. But one
I'm
of the...
I'm available.
Once again, she says it. We have with us from the Montrose Counseling Center, Susan Romanelli. I just want to say it over and over.
It'd be like
Italian.
A little bit.
A little bit Italian. And Susan, what is your position with Montrose Counseling Center?
I am one of the staff therapist. I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and I've been at Montrose Counseling Center for almost a year.
All right. Okay. And you conduct or facilitate the lesbian breast cancer support group?
Correct.
Now, is this for lesbians who currently have breast cancer or who are survivors?
It is open to both, because we felt that the people who were survivors, if people had just found out their diagnosis or had just gone through chemo or surgery, that it might be helpful to have the wisdom of and some validation for people who have been survivors.
And what is the purpose of having a group at the Montrose Counseling Center that's for lesbians with breast cancer when there are other agencies such as Susan G. Komen and the American Cancer Society that do also have support groups?
They also have support groups, but I was surprised to find that there were no support groups specific working with lesbians. And how the group kind of got the idea began was that several of the clients at Montrose Counseling Center are survivors or dealing with breast cancer, and they didn't feel comfortable going to MD Anderson and or the other organizations. They felt that the heterosexual women were dealing with different issues, some of the same issues, but they didn't feel comfortable, you know, announcing that they were lesbians, and a couple of them actually tried, and they felt that they really couldn't discuss being lesbian. Mm-hmm. And so here was a big piece of what they were going through that wasn't in the room.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that same being spoken of so often, such as in recovery programs,
mm-hmm.
where you can't tell the truth about yourself. So how are you going to benefit? Because it's like the elephant's in the room.
Correct.
And nobody can talk about it. And then it can also bring all those issues of self-esteem and, you know, it being okay with yourself about your identity as a lesbian.
Correct.
Let's talk a little bit of why breast cancer is a concern for lesbians.
Well, lesbians are more at risk than straight women.
Now, explain that, because we hear that, but let's explain why.
Okay. There seems to be several reasons. One, that the majority of lesbians compared with straight women of having children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And actually having a child reduces your chance of having breast cancer by 50%, which is quite significant.
And that's if you have a child before age 30.
Correct.
And you shouldn't have a child just so that you don't get breast cancer.
It's no guarantee.
That's not a good reason to have one.
Very true. Obesity is a factor in breast cancer, and lesbians, 30% of lesbians are overweight compared to 20% of straight women. Smoking can cause breast cancer.
And there's more lesbian smokers?
Yeah, yeah.
Stop that right now. It's disgusting and evil.
It is.
It's polluting your body with toxins.
And putting you at risk for other types of cancer as well.
And heart disease. Which is the number one killer of women.
Correct.
And what else?
There appears to be a greater use of alcohol by lesbians. And which, again, they've shown that the more you drink, the more at risk you are of getting breast cancer. Mm. And I think one of the important parts is that, which I was surprised by, is that lesbians have a lower rate of doing their own self-examination.
Hmm.
And as we all know, that's the key.
Jennifer, hold it there. Well, okay, but let's talk about the reality a little bit. One, the number one risk factor for getting breast cancer is being a woman.
Correct.
Having estrogen in your body. Why? Also, transgendered women can be at risk.
Oh, yes, very much so.
And it does happen. The not having children, at least a third, if not more, of lesbians do have children,
correct.
Myself included. Some of the studies where they went out to find lesbians to interview, to find out about their lifestyles and habits and everything, were conducted in bars. Because mm. why are you going to find the lesbians? You can go to the lesbian bars. So they think that some of that's a little skewed as far as the drinking and the smoking. And some of it's going to be your family history.
Correct.
If you have a mother, a sister, a child
mm-hmm.
who has had breast cancer, particularly if it was your mother and it was premenopausal, early stages, or if you've had any kind of cancer in your life, you're going to be more at risk. And there's some risk factors that we can't really change, nor would mm-hmm. we want to, such as being a woman. We don't want to change getting older, because that's a good thing. But we certainly can not... Excuse you, hush, Jennifer.
I didn't say anything.
You wanted to be a woman, and now you are. And
absolutely.
That's right.
I volunteered.
The thing about the self-exam, of course, lesbians are less prone to be going for an annual checkup.
Correct.
Because they don't use birth control. So they don't necessarily get the benefit of having a clinical exam, or they may have never been taught the proper procedure for a self-exam, which actually young women, like 18, should start that practice just to know what their breasts normally feel like.
Yeah, I think that's one of the misnomers, is that people feel that, women feel that they don't have to have yearly breast exams until after the age of 40, and really they should probably be starting it much earlier at this point.
And you have to learn what to look for, how it's going to feel, what feels normal and what is, could be different.
Correct.
And it's not that you're more at risk for getting breast cancer because of the self-exam, but you're at greater risk of not discovering it in the early stages when it's most treatable.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time it's something that's of the size that you can feel, it's been there for a while. So it, all of that is just, it's like we arm ourselves with as much information as we can, but we don't need to panic either, because 90% of things you find are not breast cancer. That doesn't mean they don't need treatment. That doesn't mean that there is not something that might, you know, might be a cyst that needs to be aspirated, or a little piece of fatty tissue or something. Well, breasts are lumpy, bumpy things, you know? So,
now, one of the things, what are the risks again? So, in what you said,
smoking
increases the risk.
Smoking.
The fact that you may not have had children before the age of 30.
Greater use of alcohol.
Greater use of alcohol. Is that excessive use or just
excessive?
Excessive use.
Well,
okay.
Daily,
the obesity.
The obesity. Yeah. That's true for all women.
Yeah. But getting older, you know, being a woman and getting older, that's pretty much going to be.
But some of the things you can reduce, reduce the alcohol consumption, stop smoking or smoke less.
Start losing weight.
Exercise.
Right?
All of exercise, do those things in a self-examination.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And, you know, I think the thing is what's really important is to be aware kind of what your baseline is yourself, you know, is because, as you said, you know, breasts are lumpy, bumpy. And if the bump of the lump had been there all your life, you know, it may not be something that you should get scared about.
Right, right. So if people are interested in finding out more about the breast cancer support group at the Montrose Counseling Center, how do they get that information?
They can call me directly at 713-529-0037, extension 317. The group is on Wednesday mornings, 9:30 to 11. And again, it is a combination of people who've been recently diagnosed as well as long-term survivors. We've only had a few groups at this point, and it's really been quite eye-opening about one of the things that the clients have talked about is that once you hear that you have breast cancer, you go into a shock type of thing, and that some of them did not seek counseling, and that could be individual counseling or support groups where you really have people there who understand, because many of the survivors in the group say that one of the problems is sometimes people don't want to ask how you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like if you put the C word over there,
right,
it didn't ever exist. And talking about how to get the support from family and friends and the community.
And the best support is from someone who's been there.
Correct.
And really can, you know, knows what they're talking about. We've been talking with Susan Romanelli from the Montrose Counseling Center. And if you want to find out more about lesbians and breast cancer or the support group there, just you can also check online, themontrosecounselingcenter.org. And please call with your pledge. We already had one pledge from Anonymous for $90 who took us up on a KPFT Peace T-shirt. And you can call 713-526-5738.
That's 713-526-KPFT.
And what do we got up next, guys?
Maybe it's the books, maybe it's the bullets, maybe it's the real crooks, maybe it's the drugs, maybe it's the parents, maybe it's the colors everybody's wearing. Maybe it's the president, maybe it's the last one, maybe it's the one before that, what he done. Maybe it's the high schools, maybe it's the teachers, maybe it's the tattooed children in the bleachers. Maybe it's the Bible, maybe it's the lack, maybe it's the music, maybe it's the crack. Maybe it's the hairdos, maybe it's the TV, maybe it's the cigarettes, maybe it's the family, maybe it's the fast food, maybe it's the news, maybe it's divorce, maybe it's abuse, maybe it's the lawyers, maybe it's the prison, maybe it's the senators, maybe it's the system, maybe it's the fathers, maybe it's the sons, maybe it's the sisters, maybe it's the moms, maybe it's the radio, maybe it's the road rage, maybe El Nino or UV rays, maybe it's the army, maybe it's the liquor, maybe it's the papers, maybe the militia, maybe it's the athletes, maybe it's the ads, maybe it's the sports fans, maybe it's the fads. Maybe it's the magazines, maybe it's the internet, maybe it's the lottery, maybe it's the immigrants, maybe it's taxes, big business, maybe it's the KKK and the skinheads, maybe it's the communists, maybe it's the Catholics, maybe it's the hippies, maybe it's the addicts, maybe it's the art, maybe it's the cyst, maybe it's the homeless, maybe it's the banks, maybe it's the clear cut, maybe it's the ozone, maybe it's the chemicals, maybe it's the car phone, maybe it's the fertilizer, maybe it's the nose ring, maybe it's the end. But I know one thing, if it were up to me, I'd take away the guns. I'd take away the
This is Queer Voices.
I think what we need to do is just have all the stuff that we talk about off air, on air, during Pledge Drive. Because, oh boy.
It is very entertaining.
Some of the things that get said in here.
What we can do, we can have, streaming video of us.
Or maybe we could just, tape it. While we're
Go into the archives.
No. We'll tape it while other stuff is on the air. You know,
right.
When This Way Out is on.
Yeah.
And then we'll offer it as a premium.
Paper listen.
The thing is, if we have streaming video, they will then be able to see that we really do nude radio.
Yeah. We need to, as hot as this studio is. Well, you're listening to Queer Voices. We're during Pledge Drive, and we would appreciate your support by calling 713-526-5738.
713-526-KPFT. And remember, we've already had one donation from Anonymous for $90.
Yeah.
And they got a T-shirt to go along with it.
Thank you, Anonymous. We really appreciate it.
We love you.
We have Nina on the line all the way from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hello, Nina. No, Nina.
Nina, no, Nina.
Okay.
Is she there?
Yep, I'm here.
Oh, okay. What, were you cracking up? Is that why you didn't speak?
She was having second thoughts.
She's like, I don't know if I want to talk.
I'm here. I'm ready.
I don't know if I want to talk to these people. Well, Nana, we have Brian and Jennifer in the studio with me, Deborah, and they keep saying, "What's girl shorts? What's girl shorts?" And so I said, "Well, we're gonna find out."
It's not clothing, is it?
Is it what?
Is it clothing?
No.
No. Okay.
It sounds like one of those old game shows where you try to guess what it is by asking certain questions. Is it bigger than a bread box? Okay.
Well, if you want some clothing, we can always get you a pair of boxer shorts with the logo on it or something that.
I'm a tidy whitey type guy. I don't know what it is. I think it's my white trash upbringing. I don't know.
Once again, TMI.
Yes. Tell us about girl shorts.
Well, it's a new internet community. We're going to be hosting lesbian, bisexual, and transgender films by filmmakers from our community. We'll have short films, music videos, feature film trailers. We're also looking at, we can probably do book trailers for some of our authors in the community, live performance clips, that sort of thing. And we're looking for film content from lesbian, bisexual, and transgender for this specific site. It doesn't have to be professional. We're looking for that budding amateur filmmaker also.
Tell me how this came about to begin with.
Well, it kind of started back in 2006. Angie, my business partner, who's here on an extension, by the way. You want to say hi, Angie?
Hi, this is Angie.
Hi, Angie.
We've both been on the screening committee for the film festival, Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, here in Albuquerque for a couple years. And it just kept striking us. You know, you'd get 200 or more short film submissions, and you'd maybe only pick 15. And we're going, you know, this has to be the situation with a lot of others. So we're looking at these and the ones that don't make it into the selection process, and we're going, these are some good short films that people are never going to get a chance to see or might have a very limited audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a filmmaker myself. I've done some documentary, made a few shorts, and I'm very involved in the film community here in Albuquerque. And we just thought, you know, what can we do to bring an audience to these filmmakers so that they can keep making movies?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when we came up with Girl Shorts TV. And I have to totally admit, Angie is the web geek brains of the two of us.
I love those web geeks.
So do I.
Yeah.
But we do. What do we do without them?
I know.
Now, when you talk about a short, what length are you talking about, and what formats do you accept?
We don't want to take anything more than 35 minutes.
Okay.
And we can accept pretty much all formats. We have our own software and everything to help filmmakers do conversions if we need it. And the software that we use for the site does a lot of that converting when they're uploading their shorts. So we can even handle PAL, which, by the way, we purposely want to go after an international audience also.
What is PAL?
Angie, you want to explain the PAL?
Well, it's a European format that sometimes can be difficult to convert, but we can handle it.
We do have some computer people around the studio here, and they're nodding their head.
The first generation DVDs were region encoded.
Uh-huh.
Like, right. DVDs in the United States would not necessarily play in Europe and vice versa.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, right. The web geek speaks.
They come up with just new stuff every day, and it was really the technology of the internet and how it's progressed, and now having things like YouTube.
That's what I was thinking.
That has made something like this possible.
It seems like kind of a lesbian version of YouTube with films.
Exactly.
But is it where people pay in order to subscribe to the service?
Well, I think the difference for us between YouTube is that we will have some free content, but we also do a lot on pay-per-view basis.
Mm-hmm.
At very low cost, but so we're giving money back to the filmmakers.
Right.
Oh, good.
We're splitting everything 50-50, so you'll be able to see some quality content that you might not be able to see on YouTube, and you don't have the ickiness factor.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever tried to search for lesbian films online.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to find.
Some just try transgender. You'll get all kinds of stuff.
Some people's definition of lesbian is a little distorted, to say the least. And then with... is once something on there, then it will always be available on the site, or you're going to rotate? How will that kind of thing work?
Yeah, within the site, we will have it managed so that people will know what's being downloaded at any given time, what are the popular shorts that have been downloaded or viewed lately, and we will have a way to rotate around. Our main thing is whatever we can do to support filmmakers. And let's say we have a really good short on the site, but for some reason people aren't finding it, then we might feature it as the short of the week or do some other things with it to help people become familiar with the new filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like Angie said, we're going to be sharing the revenue with the filmmakers. They don't pay us anything for putting the content on our site.
And they, each filmmaker will have a web page, a bio page within the site also. So people will have a way of, you know, checking out who they are and what else they've done. But we want to support the filmmaker. So all the revenue that we do make with the pay-per-view and pay-per-download is going to be shared with them, because we want them to keep making movies, and that's our motivation.
Now, has this been launched already?
No. Matter of fact, we're still working on some aspects of it. The software we bought for the site doesn't have all of the features we want to offer to our users and to the site members. So our programmer is still working on a few things, but we expect to go live in April.
Okay. Well, we might have to get back with you.
Yeah, you'll have to come back when you're going to launch it so we can give an announcement for you from here.
That would be cool. Well, right now, you can go to the website and sign up for our email list. And
what's that website?
There's a free viewing right now.
And what's the website?
It's girlshorts.tv.
All right.
Very easy.
So there's no ORG or COM.
.tv is...
TV is a new extension.
Yes.
Gosh! Yeah. So you can tell how backwards I am.
www.girlshorts.tv, and that's our website. And if people will go there now and sign up for our email notification list, occasionally we will send out a little freebie, a little short for some free viewing.
Ooh.
And then we will keep everybody notified as to what's going on. You know, we have some filmmakers that have already joined with us that we've contacted and... as part of our beta testing of the site, and we're really excited about them. Like, we have Rosser Goodman, who just completed, not too long ago, her first feature film, Holding Trevor, but she started as a short filmmaker, and now she's working on her next feature film.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and we have Paula Goldberg, who wrote and directed a popular lesbian short film, Traveling Companion, that's been released a couple times on Wolf video compilations.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a music video by our sci-fi goddess, Claudia Christian.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know what that is, but I want to see it.
Yeah, she made a music video that's really, it's hot.
Where can we find this music video?
That would be at girlshorts.tv. .tv.
Now, let me ask you about the website. Is it one S or two S's? Is it GIRLSS? One
yes.
S? Just, okay.
Two S's.
Two S's.
Two S's.
Girls?
So, girls?
Shorts.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's important to know.
Yeah,
thank you for clarifying that, Brian.
Yeah. And, you know, Brian, just for you, we're going to let you know, and your viewers know, as soon as
our
Girls Shorts is up and running, we're going to start with Boys Shorts.tv.
How did you know that I like boys?
Yes.
I was thinking, well, yeah, what? Girl shorts, not so much, but boy shorts, I would be into that.
Hey, I get to double my pleasure. I could go either way.
Well,
and she
know,
sometimes
trans people are like that.
And so, in other words, there's a little something for everyone. And, you know, when we've had the film festival, I have found that there are films that would be targeted mainly to a male audience, but I still could enjoy them and get something out of them. And I think the same thing is true with some of the lesbian work.
I think it's about the story.
Exactly, because if it's like Brokeback Mountain.
Did you enjoy that?
Yes.
It was a human story that we could relate to.
Exactly.
And you know, bless Heath Ledger, I mean, you know, what a loss. But that movie changed a lot of people's lives, and it was just so amazing that it even made it into a mainstream and raised the consciousness that it did.
And I think that's what's important about Girl Shorts TV.
Right.
It's bringing new voices and new visions for gay, lesbian, bisexual.
Exactly. Even Ang Lee had to start off somewhere.
And those people, you know, as we're opening the doors, more of the filmmakers come out and make those films.
Well, Nina and Angie, we want to thank you so much for being with us on Queer Voices and telling us about this exciting new venture. And make sure that you sign up at girlsshorts.tv so that you can get on that email list and find out more about the things that will be coming up, the videos and the features that will be shown there. And we really appreciate you being with us on Queer Voices.
Well, thank you for having us. And when we're ready to go live, you'll be the first one we'll contact and let you know.
Thanks so much.
Come back on the air with us.
Thank you.
And, of course, at this point, we should remind you that we are in the middle of Pledge Drive, and it's very important for you to call up and support not only this program, but this station. And, Deborah, how do you do that?
You call 713-526-5738.
Oh, you want to go ahead?
I want to do it. 713-526-KPFT.
And I think we were going to chat
with Matt.
Matt, mm-hmm. out in the lobby.
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy, Matt.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going good.
You tell us. Hey, y'all are almost to your goal.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
We want to thank everybody.
There's only three people to thank.
Well, then who are they? I know one of them is anonymous.
Yes.
Do they have any cousins or somebody that's called in?
Got Patrick and Jim.
Well, thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Jim.
I'm hearing a lot of male-sounding names. I think it's time for some of
anonymous?
The women.
I thought anonymous was feminine.
Well, most of the
time. That's animus.
Oh, animus.
No, anonymous was a woman is a quote we feminists often use. But let's give some other people a chance. 713-526-5738. Take us over the top. Show your support for Queer Voices. 713-526-KPFT. It makes us feel so good to meet our goal, but to take us over the top, for one thing, it means next week we won't have to work so hard with our plead-a-thon.
Our plead-a-thon? Well, you know,
I hear.
Oh, the phone's ringing. All right.
Don't you get all tingly when you hear the phone ring?
I get little chills when y'all call.
Give the number again, Brian.
713-526-5738.
That's 713-526-KPFT.
See, you could call in and hear your phone ringing.
That's making a difference in Houston Gay Lesbian Transgender Radio.
He made sure he said transgender.
I know. I was going to hit him.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't going to hit him. I wouldn't do that.
I'm inclusive of the entire
radio
community.
For peace.
That's right.
It's based on...
I would not do that. Was a misnomer. I would do something even more spectacular. Good thing we don't have streaming video.
If we ever get it, we are going to really be in trouble around here.
We'll have our own offshoot website, and we'll make money that way.
I started to say, we'll end up giving girl shorts a run for their money.
It'll be queer shorts.
But yes, please, by
trans
all means,
shorts.
Add your vote of support to Queer Voices, to KPFT, and pledge now, 713-526-5738.
713-526-KPFT.
There's so many good reasons to pledge, and I just sometimes get exhausted thinking about them. You know the reason. It's because you're a listener, and you need to do your part and support the station. So call 713-526-5738.
Where else are you going to hear GLBT radio at this time of the, you know, in Houston? This is the community radio station.
Where else are you going to hear about lesbian affairs? I mean, you're not going to hear that on... You're not going to hear that on... Those other stations,
you're not going to hear it on Clear Channel, that's for
sure.
No,
you're not.
And speaking of all that kind of stuff, what do we have coming up in the next hour, Glenn?
Well, in the second hour, we have, Jennifer is going to be talking about the precinct convention process with the Stonewall Democrats, and that's something that I want to know about, too. That sounds interesting. Also, Brian and myself are going to be talking with some of the folks from Lone Star Volleyball. I'm going to be talking about the beauty pageant that's coming up at the end of the week. That's part of their fundraising process. That's actually part of the whole thing to do with the tournament, and it's all benefiting Stone Soup of Houston. And Brian and Jennifer will also be talking with the folks from Starbucks about their fourth annual silent auction benefiting AIDS Foundation Houston. And to keep this kind of stuff going, you want to be sure to call in now with your pledge to 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Any small little amount will help, and you can do a one-time donation or you can do a regular recurring donation. Any bit helps, and I like to say that, you know, we're all volunteers here. We all volunteer in front of the microphone, and you at home also volunteer by listening to the show and by pledging your support to KPFT and to Queer Voices. And so very shortly, we will be continuing with more of Queer Voices. And Deborah, do you have anything else to say?
Call that pledge line, 713-526-5738. The sooner you do it, the sooner you will hear me stop asking you to call. 713-526-5738. Nice, lovely people waiting for you to call. Hear that phone ring. Hear them answer it. They will guide you through the donation process. It's painless. There's so many ways to give. On plastic, through a check, a monthly pledge amount. You can come down to the station during business hours and pay in person.
And you can bring cash, small bills, in a brown paper sack.
Like they say on Car Talk, you know, right? Put it
you
on
can take it right out of the trunk of your car and give it to us.
Yeah, on a 2008 Porsche. Do call in now with your pledge of support so that we can thank you or thank you anonymously. 713-526-KPFT, 713-526-5738. And we'll be back in a moment with the Stonewall Democrats.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Walensky and the entire Queer Voices crew. And before we go back to Deborah and guests in the studio with the Stonewall Democrats, I want to let you know that there is actually a straight man who called in.
I love you.
Oh, uh-huh. I love him.
Yes.
Who is he?
$200 worth.
Oh, bless your heart.
Man.
All right.
Hey, yeah. We're by.
Is he anonymous or do you know who he is?
$400?
Yes.
Okay. Same. Oh, if I announce this, okay.
Same guy.
And once can say his name, right?
Yes.
Okay, this is Patrick Sims. And now the reason why he's going to double from $200 to $400, if I tell you that he enjoys having gay friends because they dress him well, and because they dress him well, he gets lots of dates with the ladies.
I see. Hey. Well, there you go.
I bet he does.
It was the queer eye for the straight guy.
Absolutely.
Working there. Thank you, Patrick, so much.
Thank you so much, Patrick.
No, of course, I had to clean that up a little bit from what he actually said.
I see.
I'll leave the rest to your imagination.
You had to make it suitable for radio. Well, you too can dress nazzy with pledging to Queer Voices. I'm sure we'll find some guys that can fix you up. 713-526-5738.
It's 713-526-KPFT.
Well, moving right along,
we have in the studio Pat Gandy, the expert of all experts concerning how the upcoming Democratic primary precinct conventions are held. Now, I understand, and I hear the room, we get to vote twice. Once when we actually cast our ballot, and then we have the precinct convention afterwards at 7:15.
That's right. In other words, you get not a total one vote in the whole process, but you get to go back and vote in the caucus to send delegates to select other delegates to go to the Senate District Convention, and then the Senate District Convention will select a whole 100 and some odd to go to the state convention, and then on there. So It's vitally important.
Yeah, and you even can vie to be one of those delegates.
Yes, you can. Yes. I was successful in 1996. I was a national delegate from Texas for Bill Clinton. And went to Chicago. Golly, what better thing can you do than go to a national Democratic convention in Chicago?
Go to one in Denver.
Denver's fine too.
And in my opinion, get another Clinton elected.
Yes.
Now, all of the news outlets, media outlets, been looking at the talking heads mm-hmm. for the last week anyway, especially the last couple of days, they've been talking about Texas uh-huh. and how quote-unquote complicated our precinct, our voting in the primary is for the Democratic Party. Can you explain to us how it works?
It's really not very complicated. My partner got a ballot through the mail. She's in a wheelchair, so she doesn't go early vote anymore. And all she did was just, you know, mark her X by Hillary Clinton. I think she did. She told me she did. And
she's okay with you announcing to the world how she voted.
She really doesn't care, I'm sure. And she's probably not even listening right now. But I had to get her to bed before I left.
Go to bed, dear. I'm going to be talking about you on the radio.
Well, she was busy blogging this afternoon.
Oh, I see.
To answer blogs. That were being ridiculously bad about Hillary, and she can't stand that.
We just don't tolerate that.
We don't tolerate that.
So
but they're really simple. You know, you go and vote. You just mark your ballot like any other thing. So, you mark the rest of them. And by the way, Stonewall Democrats, if you'll go to www.stonewallhoustonareastonewalldemocrats.com, you can get all the information you want about candidates. And who's okay? We've screened them as well as the Houston Gay Lesbian Caucus. I don't think we have any disagreements on them. We may not have screened some that they did.
Yeah. Yeah,
but other information.
And that's at thecaucus.org.
I was going to say, you compare the two by going to thecaucus.org and see the endorsement list there.
And on our site, there's an explanation of. In fact, we've got a wonderful site that our president Teresa Herron put together. She's really a whiz at all this, and she's home grading papers because she's a high school government teacher, and so the retired teacher has to come down here at nine o'clock at night because I can sleep late and she can't. But she's done a magnificent job with the website, and that'll give you all the information in the world. But all you do is show up before 7 o'clock at the place you voted.
By 7:15.
Well, no later than 7:15,
right.
But don't wait till 7:15.
Right.
You get there ahead of time, and the precinct chair, the head of the Democratic Party in that precinct, is called the precinct chair. And he or she will have a table set up where you can sign in. And you'll be there by 7:15, so you won't be, everything won't be running late.
Now, I understand that when you come to the precinct caucus, you declare which candidate that you're for.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you do?
Yes,
you
sign in for your candidate. And then the precinct chair, with the help of probably an Obama leader and a Clinton leader, will figure what percentage of the people signed in for Hillary and what percentage signed in for Obama. And using that percentage, say 75% showed up for Hillary, and that particular precinct, and my precinct is precinct 34 here in Montrose. The center of the world, the center of the universe, the center of the fourth largest city in the nation. And it is, let's say it has 30 delegates. Well, what's 75% of 30? I don't know. I can't figure it in my head. who's the brains around here? Anybody?
Why don't you use 100? That way we can all figure it out.
Oh, 100. Okay.
Yeah.
We're 100,
math challenged.
We have 100. Well, bring your calculator just in case you can check on,
just
you know,
say
everybody.
Theoretically. So there's 75 100. Delegates that would go
for Clinton and 25 for Obama. I mean, it's very simple. And then, you know, the chair then has to call the meeting to order, and the delegates, there are certain, you know, you elect a permanent chair of the convention, which is usually the person that opens. The precinct chair is usually the permanent chairman, but he or she may not want to be. So they usually find somebody else.
They have someone who's chairs and a secretary to record.
Yes, the secretary is very important. Make sure that secretary is friendly to your side, is a fair person, and will let both sides, you know, copy down, you know, get copies of who all was there, because that's very important, because you want to get those people up to the next level, which is the Senate district. Now, the next thing you do, you divide into two groups, and you elect delegates to that convention. So we've got.
You know, is that the state convention?
No, or the Senate district.
Senate district in
big cities like Harris County, Dallas, San Antonio, and maybe Austin too, Fort Worth, you have two or more Senate districts. In Houston, we have about six.
Yeah. So you would go from the precinct caucus to the Senate district convention.
Yes. And it'll be in your neighborhood.
Okay. And if you're not in a big city, you go to your county.
Yeah, that's right.
Meeting.
Okay.
Those of you out in Fort Bend County,
or Montgomery or Galveston.
Brazos County.
Brazos, Brazoria County, you go to your county convention. But that's how it works. But the important thing is when you're deciding on which one of you there at the precinct convention is going to be a delegate to the Senate district convention, you've got to make sure that that they're going to be available to go on to the convention on March 29th. That's a Saturday. March 29th is the Senate district convention all over the state of Texas. Now, don't elect somebody as a delegate that's not going to be available to go. And these people that are elected as delegates have to be diehard whatevers for your candidate, that they'll show up.
That may be yourself.
Yes. And you can self-nominate.
Yes.
And my suggestion is if you're really anxious to go to the Senate district, to the state, and maybe national, you nominate yourself first rattle out of the box. You get right in front of that chairman of your little caucus and say, I nominate Pat Gandy.
Yeah.
You know? Can I
nominate myself and not you?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, you can nominate yourself. But the thing is, we're going to have, let's say we had in precinct 34, we had 200 people show up. Well, there's only 75 of us can be delegates. We've got to get names. And here's another thing. If there's not enough people there to fill out the number of people that you're allowed to, you can go and find other people who voted that in the Democratic primary, either that day or early voted or mail ballot, and get their names and ask them if they want to go.
They can be delegates.
They say it's complicated, but it's not so complicated as it is. It's trying to be fair to everybody, well, giving everybody a chance to participate that wants to.
I think that's the thing, Pat. I think this is the thing. Some of us who have been around a long time,
yes.
Not quite as long as you, but I'm working on it. we trained under Billy Carr,
uh-huh.
the godmother of the Liberal Democratic Party.
Well, my father trained me.
And And we know this process. We've used it.
Yes.
Through the years. Right. Not only to elect delegates, but to get resolutions
yes,
passed.
Yes, and that's the next thing you do.
And the resolutions are what become the party platform.
That's right.
So issues that concern us that we might want to invoke some change on, this is an opportunity to do it.
Now, is there a format for those resolutions?
No, you can hand write them. I'd suggest you get them typed or, you know, put on the computer and print them out. I printed out about 7 of them that I'm intend on introducing, and there'll be other people there with some, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I've
and
got
the
one
idea
on the environment, one on LGBT GLBT rights, and another one on election, the length of and the money spent on elections, and I got a bunch of them.
So what's important about all of that is to lobby your friends and people in your precinct.
Yes.
So that when you get there that night, you already know they agree with you on these resolutions. They're going to support you to be a delegate.
Right.
It takes place long before you make it to that precinct convention. But so your early voting starts tomorrow. Is it 7 to 7?
7 to 7, I believe. Yes.
Okay, and of course, most of us know the multipurpose center on West Gray, but there's lots of places around town.
You can go to our website, www.HoustonAreaStonewallDemocrats.com, and we have a map showing where all those locations
are. We're making it as easy as we can. Or you can even call the county and say, where do I go vote? And
I think you can go to harrisvotes.org.
Right. But not everybody has, you know, the internet. So you might have to do a little work and look up the which I used to know.
However, if you've ever early voted before in your precinct, you will know it's the same place. They're not trying to change places. Or you can just go down to the multipurpose center there on West Gray.
Right. Now, that's if you early vote.
Yes.
Early voting ends 4 days before the election.
That's correct.
So, Election Day, March the 4th, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. by 7:15, no later than 7:15, go to your local precinct voting place. So if you early voted, you still need to know where your
local voting place is.
Right.
Where you usually vote. And sometimes they move that around, but you better check and make sure on that. Mm-hmm. And we will have that on our site at Houston Area StonewallDemocrats.com. We don't yet, but we will.
So the Senate District, County District meetings are March the 29th.
29th.
When is the State Convention?
The State Convention is in July. July.
Early June.
The Friday and Saturday in June. I don't have that date. I've just brought my March calendar.
Yeah, okay. And then the national convention will be in Denver.
Denver in August.
In August. And so...
Do you think we'll have it decided by then?
I don't know.
That's just it. A lot of people haven't been aware of this process. They haven't given much thought beyond going and voting. But because right now it's so close, it's so critical, mm-hmm. there can be, it can make the difference.
That's right.
And people that it really matters, if they want to, you know, make sure a democracy is not a spectator sport.
That's right. It isn't. It is getting out and getting your friends and neighbors out to vote. And Texas could be crucial to this. It could make or break
one of the rare
Clinton.
Times. One of the rare times
rare,
that Texas
the rare
really...
Times. It may be... It's the first for a historic election. Like
absolutely.
This.
Because usually it's decided by the time we have our primary.
Yes.
So I'm excited.
I think the Walter Mondale heart thing was still in the, it was settled at the convention, but that wasn't as historic a vote as this one is. If your vote is critically needed at these caucuses, it's not just a poo-poo thing for the party poo-bahs. It is for you. the voter who is really emotionally charged to do something for your candidate, this is where you must go.
This is where democracy really works.
Yes.
Right. Well, Pat Gandy from the Stonewall Democrats and so many other things that you've done in your life, thank you so much for being with us on Queer Voices. We've gone over our goal. We've made $590 so far during this show.
Thank everybody.
But that doesn't mean that we are finished. We want more.
We still
give till it hurts. 713-526.
Democracy isn't cheap either.
5738.
713-526 KPFT. Call in. Please pledge even more. Support Queer Voices and KPFT Radio.
Phil Dutra, Another Day Alone, from his album Right Behind the Rain from 2007. And I'd like to thank JD for providing these songs to us. This is Queer Voices.
Last week, if you were tuned into our program, we spoke about Jungle and Bunnies on the Bayou, which happens, of course, Easter weekend. Well, there's another thing that goes on that weekend, and that is the LSVA tournament. And tonight we have the lovely, divalicious Diana Fernandez.
Hey.
To speak about that.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good. Very well. Doing very well.
Okay. So how long has the LSBA tournament been around?
It's a good question. It's, I want to say 27 years.
This is going to be the 18th.
Oh, no. The 18th year. Yes. You're right. You're right. This is our 18th year.
Okay. You failed the quiz.
No, I did.
They got an extra 9 years in there somehow.
Well, the league has been around, I think, that long.
Okay.
So
this is the Houston chapter of the league.
Yeah. Actually, the tournament itself is it's part of a national league called NAGVA, and that's the North American Gay Volleyball Association. We are just a Houston chapter, and we put on this tournament every year, Easter weekend, Friday and Saturday, Good Friday and Saturday, so that we can all go to Bunnies after on Sunday.
And don't forget Jungle Night.
And Jungle on Saturday night, right.
Yeah, it's always funny because you always see the tall people.
It's unusual and strange that there are so many tall people, and every time we go to a tournament, I always notice that. I'm like, wow, there are a lot of tall people. They play middle. That's what they do. Yeah. But the tournament is always Friday and Saturday. It's actually the Lone Star Volleyball Classic. It is a subcommittee, sub-organization of Lone Star Volleyball Association, which is the Houston-based league.
Now, if you've never been to or heard of this tournament, where does it take place?
It is way out in the boonies.
Out at
Willowbrook Sports Complex.
Oh, I start itching if I get something.
I know.
Well, I had to grow up out there.
Yeah, you have to pack a lunch. It's quite a track out there, but it is a great sports complex. We've done it there every year as long as I've been around.
Think of Perry Road in 1960.
Yeah, Perry Road in 1960. And I don't know what the address is, but it is on our website at lsva.org.
lsva.org.
That's right.
So I've seen the guys in the past years, and, you know, eye candy, good-looking guy.
Oh, the hottest.
And if you just, I mean, if that's an incentive to go out there and watch the games, you know, so be it.
You know, the unfortunate thing is all those hot boys have to wear shirts, but, you know, they always take them off later on at night.
You know, I always drive by the Cherryhurst Park,
uh-huh.
And they're always shirtless there, so.
Yeah, those guys are usually a part of our league, so we do play outside. It's kind of not an official LSVA-sponsored event, but they usually play on Sundays.
Now, there's a fundraiser coming
mm-hmm.
up
mm-hmm.
that we should make our listeners aware of.
Absolutely. It is our big fundraiser for this event. It's Miss LSVA pageant, Miss Lone Star Volleyball Association pageant. I am a former title holder.
I remember that.
Yeah. It's strange as it may seem. I, as a woman, was a former title holder.
That just shows how popular you are in the gay community.
That's right. I made a lot of money. I'm just saying.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, you really did have a fabulous show there, though.
I did. It's going to be just as fabulous. It actually is this coming Saturday at Meteor from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. There's a $5 suggested donation for anybody who comes. Usually I know Meteor is free, but this is for a good cause. We are giving all of our money this year for both the tournament and for the fundraiser to AFH Stone Soup.
Which is a great program,
mm-hmm.
and I've been a part of of programs that give money to them, and they make the money stretch a long way.
Yeah.
The money goes and feeds a lot of people in our community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's our big tournament, or our big fundraiser this year, is, and every year, is the Miss LSVA pageant. I actually will be performing. I've got a couple of numbers that I'll be doing.
Tell us.
I'll just say, I'm just going to say that I have two boys in my show, Bart and Drew, and they're going to be scantily clad and handing out treats. That's what I'm going to say.
Treats. Oh, the mind wonders.
You have to come and see it to see.
So it's this Saturday.
This Saturday at 8 o'clock from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Meteor. $5 suggested donation. Bring as much money as you want to give. You know, all of it is going to charity. It's a great time, and it's really good fun.
And in case you don't know where Meteor is, it's in my neighborhood. It's at the corner of Genesee and Fairview. I think it's 2306 Genesee.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun event. Everybody that comes out there actually always has a great
Now, is it people that are in the LSVA that are on stage, or
mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so it's players and
not players.
Well, there could be a couple players in it, but no, there, it's anybody who is involved with the league or with the tournament is open to play or open to participate or perform, and it's really very fun. I mean, some people get really, really serious about it, but most people it's entertaining no matter what.
Is this where the boys become girls for the night?
Boys become girls, and the girls become even better girls. So So
I don't know if you could become a better girl. Because you're just kind of all that.
I'm out there.
No, I love and I've known Diana for years.
Yes, many years.
So let's see. Do you know who's how many people you have already signed up?
I don't. I think that I'm actually not giving up my title this year. I actually did that last year.
No.
So I'm not really part of the organization this year, which is even better for me. But I want to. I know we have at least six performers.
Okay.
I'm not sure how many of those are contestants, but I know that we have at least six performers. So we've got a lot of variety that's going to be out there. That so can, it's really fun.
That can drag out for a while.
Yeah. Well, we've got to fill 2 hours.
No pun intended.
Drag, uh-oh.
Oh, you're bad.
I'm still on the scantily clad, handing out candy.
That's right.
He was out at Louis the other week.
I was there. I went to the VRV that night, too.
That's crazy.
That was when I was scantily clad.
It won't be that kind of clad, but they're tight clothes and they're cute boys. So
I see.
They're very. I have a theme going on. Every time I do my performances, I have someone behind me doing something really fun, and it's always cute boys. So.
I know you have a lot of cute friends. I've always noticed that.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, I do. I was noticing that the other day. I have a lot of cute friends. Sorry. Hey, back to volleyball.
Yeah, really. Speaking of cute friends and volleyball.
Uh-huh.
How does somebody get involved in the league?
We actually just finished our last day of open play for the regular season, but you can come out anytime and play pickup, and we play normally for the Lone Star Volleyball Association League plays normally at the downtown YMCA. We start, I believe, at 11:30 for recreational play, and anybody who wants to play in recreational can play. Our competitive and power divisions are more organized, and they require people to actually be on a team, whereas in recreational, you can just come out, pay $5, and play.
So what day is that for recreational?
That's on Sunday. And check the website. I may be off by 30 minutes. I think it's either 11 or 11:30. But check the website, www.lsva.org, and you can actually find out what the time is.
You know, that's early for some people.
It is early, but I'll tell you, it's the greatest exercise in the world. It's the only thing that I do, and, I'm so skinny.
You got curves in all the right places. Now, you mentioned divisions. Are there, like, division A, B, C, like in softball?
Yeah, actually, there are. You can actually be rated by your skill, and it's very similar to the softball ratings, except we have five.
Oh, yeah.
And instead of sort of rating yourself, you get rated by other people.
You actually have other people that come in that are professionals or that are in a level higher than you, and they come in and actually look at your skills, and rate you based on a scale that is predefined by the national organization that says that you can be this level.
So
in our tournament, actually, it makes a lot more sense to actually talk about that with the tournament, because they play in different divisions in the tournament. We have a B division, we have a double B division, we have an A division that plays. So you have to have people who are in the same skill level playing together in order to play in those divisions. And then how it comes into play in the league is that you can't be you can't play in the recreational you can play in the recreational, but you can't play in the competitive division if you're a double B or higher.
Okay.
There are kind of rules for safety and things such as that, but if you play in the, you can play in the recreational division if you're any level, but usually have to kind of play a little nicer.
Now, this tournament, where do people usually come from?
Oh, we have everywhere. We've had people from New York. We've had people from Canada. Mm-hmm.
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. We had some Puerto Rico people a couple years ago. And I'll tell you, it's some of the greatest networking that you can ever do. I know everybody that comes in from Dallas. I talk to them. We have the teams that normally come are probably about 40% Dallas.
Are they snobby?
No. They're not. Well, my friends aren't pretentious. I mean,
well, not just you.
They're just cute.
Yeah, you get them in a bar and they'll be like, "Oh, noses."
Yeah. Just trust me. Come and find me at the bars, and I'll make sure that you meet anyone you need.
I'm sorry. Do you know my friend Diana?
Okay. No, they come. It's great. And actually, one of the really good things about getting to know and going to those tournaments and going to our tournaments and meeting all these people is that we actually do travel to other tournaments outside of Houston. Last year I went to New York tournament. We have tons of them that are here locally, well, kind of locally in this state. You know, San Antonio, Austin, Dallas has some great tournaments, but you get to actually go out and meet different people. I've gone to the Puerto Rico tournament twice, and it's amazing. Great people. The volleyball people are probably some of the nicest people you'll ever meet, and that actually you actually can keep in contact with them and see them at least on an annual basis, because they always come back to the tournaments. So
do y'all crown a champion at the end of the tournament?
We do. Each division has first, second, and third places. We have the best trophies that you can ever imagine. They're better than any of the other trophies of any other tournament I've ever been to. I mean, they're really cool. We've done a great job. Yeah, we do a great job of getting out great trophies, and I usually give out some fun awards that are usually a little catty. You know, I like to get a little crazy with it. It's great fun for me. And you know, again,
we do an award for the best costume too.
We've done best costume. We've done spirit awards. We've done all kinds of stuff. I don't know what they are this year yet. They usually come to me about 2 weeks before the tournament.
You know, the difference here is that at a commercial volleyball tournament or a college volleyball tournament, it's all very serious and everybody's in proper uniform and everything. But we actually encourage people to be a little bit zany. And so we've seen in other cities, in our tournament, we get there's one team that comes out dressed up as the Flintstones.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's funny. It's great.
And then we had another team called Horigami, and they came out with kind of oriental stuff.
Oh, that's Diana's friends. I don't know.
Yes, they are.
No.
They're cute, but they
are. Perfect angels.
Yes, of course. No, it's great. We always like to, you know, we like to definitely showcase people who actually make an effort to do those kinds of things. So,
all in good fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, okay, let's talk about the fundraiser that's coming up this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That is Saturday night.
Saturday night at Meteor. It's the Miss LSVA pageant, the Miss Lone Star Volleyball Association pageant.
We're speaking to the former title holder.
Yes.
Oh, you're the title holder until Saturday.
No. I gave mine up. I was 2006. I gave mine up last year.
All right.
In a spectacular pageant,
but
I might add.
You'll always be Miss
LSVA.
Exactly.
I've always been the title holder for Miss LSVA.
Okay, so that fundraiser is this weekend.
Yep.
It's for AIDS Foundation Houston's Stone Soup Program.
Mm-hmm.
And then the actual tournament is Easter weekend.
Easter weekend, March 21st and 22nd. It's out at the Willowbrook Sports Complex, and it's a lot of fun. Check our website to get any questions answered, www.lsva.org, and I can't wait. Please come out and support us and see what I have to do.
And at least come out and see the fabulous Diana.
Yeah, and the scantily clad dancers that I have.
Handing out treats.
Handing out treats, that's right.
Air quotes. All right, anything else?
That's all I got. That's all I got to push today.
All right, well, tonight is a big night for pushing.
Diana Fernandez from Lone Star Volleyball and the Bryans.
Brian with a Y.
And Brian with an I.
Thank you so much. We need to go out to Pledge Central and see what's going on out there, because this is fundraising season for KPFT and for Queer Voices, and we are actually over our goal, and we want to see how far over our goal we can go. And so we're very glad to report that, and we need everybody to participate in that effort. The number to call to make your pledge is 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. And the more pledges that we can get this week, the more programming we can do next week, or the less talking we'll have to do, or something like that. So please feel free to call in at any time. We have operators standing by out there in Pledge Central, if they can hear me. I have their mic open, if they can hear me, to see it, so they can give us an update. Bye, Diana. And so please call in now at 7. See, we have fun behind the microphones, too. 713-526-5738. And you can have fun with the guys on the phone if you want when you call in. 713-526-5738. And make your pledge now. I was beaten up every
like a girl in the fire and me chased me dripping laughing cause I ran like a girl. Like a girl, I was kicked down the steel staircase, speaking in class like a girl to cover up the bruises I would make up on my face like a girl.
New album, The Pink Album, that was Scott Free, Like a Girl. This is Queer Voices.
Yes, and this is Jennifer Renee with the Bryans.
Brian with a Y.
Brian with an I.
And we're here with Kevin Roach and Angela Lara from Starbucks. And their fourth annual silent auction benefiting the AIDS Foundation Houston. And this is the Starbucks there at Montrose and Hawthorne. And it's going to be on Friday, February 29th. Well, tell us about it. This is the fourth one. And I understand it was this all started in support of someone who was always there at the Starbucks, a patron that y'all had admired. Tell me about that.
Okay, well, it started with one of our beloved customers, Patrick. He was always at our store, and he lost his battle with AIDS about 4 years ago, and we wanted a way to honor him and cherish his memory. So when the AIDS Walk came around, we decided that we would put together a silent auction to raise money and awareness and donate some money to the AIDS Foundation Houston in his name.
Well, believe it or not, there might be someone out there that doesn't know what a silent auction is. Would you explain what it is and how people can be part of that?
Sure. Well, what we do is basically our whole store becomes nothing but a huge art gallery. From open that morning, which is about 5:30 in the morning, all the way up until 9 o'clock at night, we'll have nothing but art everywhere. All the tables and chairs come outside. There's no place to sit. It's just an art gallery. You come in, next to every painting, there'll be a nice little sign-up sheet. You sign in, place your bid, and go about your day. Come back in a little bit later, check on it, and try and beat out your bids.
Sounds like eBay.
Yes, a lot like eBay.
Would it be gay bay?
Even better.
Even better.
I like that. Now, if someone wants to to contribute at artwork and the like? What do? They contact you all there at the at the Starbucks?
Please, please do. Just bring in art as soon as possible. We're taking art right now, and we'll be taking art all the way up until the 28th.
Right now, tonight?
Yes.
Tonight?
You can bring it in tonight.
You can bring it in tonight.
Y'all are open till?
We're kind of closed right now. but you can bring it in tomorrow.
We open at 5:30 in the morning, and we close at 9:30 p.m., so you can bring it in at any time. When you bring it in, we'll catalog it, have you fill out a little bit of information, so that way we can create a bid sheet for you. So when we actually set up the day of the auction, we'll have all of your information, the bid sheet ready to go, and, you know, try to get our customers to come in and raise some money.
Now, do they call the store, or is there a website, or how would they contact you other than just coming to the store?
You're more than welcome to call us. Our phone number is 713-521-7278. One more time, it's 713-521-7278. And just ask for anyone in there.
Yeah, you would ask for anybody at the store?
Yeah, you can ask for anyone. The manager on duty will be able to help you. You can ask for me. I'm Kevin or Angela. We're generally there pretty much every all day long.
Now, will the artwork start being up when? When will you start putting it up?
We were going to set up on Thursday night, pretty much toward the evening and after we close, and right when we open on Friday at 5 a.m., you'll be able to place your bid.
Okay, so that's, 10 days from now?
Yes.
That's the Thursday, the 29th. Yes. Friday the 29th. You're going to put it up on that Thursday night after you close?
Right. Yes.
Okay, and so when they show up at 5 a.m. on Friday, they can start bidding on the artwork.
Absolutely.
First thing Friday morning.
Oh, that's great.
We have a lot of great artwork and a lot of gift certificates from local businesses and an autographed Magic Johnson basketball as well.
Wow. What about in the past? What kind of mediums have been there? Is it sculptures or mainly paintings? Or
we generally get lots of paintings in, lots of photographs, but we also have lots of sculptures, pottery is a big thing.
Ceramics.
And a lot of the cool services we're getting, like lots of massage from massage therapists. We have an interesting one this year, a show from Erica. We have a nice drag show that's being auctioned off this year. We're not exactly sure how that's going to go down, but
that's interesting.
What
you have your own drag show at home. Invite your friends.
Well, you know, we also have Angela Fuller, who is a master of violinist from the Houston Symphony, who is going to be donating kind of a private recital for your home to be able to go back and
A variety of things. It's not just a few paintings on the wall we think of when we think of art, but art as far as the gambit of the different forms of artwork and performance art.
Yes, art,
that's incredible.
Yeah.
Museums are donating membership and subscription and packages, too. So there's just a lot of really great things to come in and bid on and raise a lot of money.
So in years past, how much money have you raised?
Well, the first year that we did it, we raised $7,000.
That's awesome.
And as we've progressed, it's gotten better and better. Last year, we raised over $14,000.
That's great.
And
so, listeners, we need to beat $14,000.
Yes, yes.
This year, our goal is
$20,000.
Yes. I really want to make $30,000, but our goal is $20,000.
Now, all the money goes where?
It goes to the AIDS Foundation Houston. It benefits the AIDS Walk.
Right. The money benefits the AIDS Walk, which... Their main support, most of the money from the AIDS Walk goes to the AIDS Foundation Houston. I believe it's 90% goes to the AIDS Foundation Houston. The other 10% will be split through other...
There's about 15 other agencies, and they get, 25%.
25%
this
year?
Yes.
The AIDS Walk has a goal of $1 million, so if you come up with $20,000 or $30,000, that's huge.
A big step forward.
We want to do our part.
Definitely want to do our part.
And everyone knows where the Starbucks is.
This is
the happiest,
right in the center of the community.
It's the happiest Starbucks in all of Houston.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Where they remember your name.
You know, I go in there.
They're sort of like a Cheers. Everybody knows your name when you walk in there.
If they don't,
you aren't going enough times.
There you go.
I just walked in tonight and they said, "Hey, we've just seen Jennifer here."
Yeah.
Well, it's one of my favorite places. I was saying earlier, it's sort of like my branch office during the day when I'm down in this part of the city. I'd say, hey, I'll meet you at the Starbucks on Hawthorne in Montrose. Everybody knows where it is.
We love to hear that. We love our customers, and we love this community.
There's always people there.
Yes.
Every time you go by, people on their computer.
One of the things I wanted to ask, again, going back to the artwork and all, now, how many pieces do you think you'll have this year? Have you any idea? Have you already started getting some people bringing stuff in?
Yeah.
We've been getting things in already. All the art that actually comes in early, if you get it in early, if you want extra exposure, it's going up as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. If you bring it in, we'll try and have it up on our walls that day.
If you want the prime locations,
yeah.
get
if
your
you want the prime locations,
early.
Bring it in
yeah,
early.
But also, if you're bidding, you can come in and you can kind of preview some of the artwork and some of the things that are going to be auctioned off on Friday, the 29th. So you can come in and really take a look
all
at
right,
that.
Now, is going back to this silent auction, you'll come in so that people will understand
okay.
this. Because,
yes.
you know, they come in, they see a painting or a piece of artwork, they sign up, put their name and information and put a bid in
yes.
for it. Now, when does the bidding cut off?
At 9 p.m.
Bidding ends at 9 p.m.
So between 9 and 9:30, you can find out whether you won.
Right.
Yes, and we actually have representatives from the AIDS Foundation Houston there who are going to be there from 5 p.m. to 9. And right at 9 p.m., we go about and we circle all the winning bids. Then we get the collection sheets, and there's a way for us to collect payment right then and there through the AIDS Foundation Houston.
So if you really see something you want, you really want to plan to be there at 9 o'clock that Friday night.
Yeah. Get you a latte.
Yeah.
Just watch. Keep
that last 5-minute rush is so exhilarating. You run back to the item that you want, sign up for it one more time, and then run all the way across the store and try and slide into that one you wanted on the side.
It does sound like eBay when you're trying to get right. something you really want. Okay, that's good.
This year we're also doing some really fun stuff. From 5 to 9, we're also having a live jazz band there.
Ooh. Yes.
We supposedly are going to be giving away some massages while you're there. Hopefully that comes through. I'm not too sure on that one yet.
But it becomes just a really great way for the community to get together, have a good time, celebrate a good cause, and, it becomes kind of a party atmosphere as well, just for us to all get together and hang out. And you see the same people from the community coming out to support. So,
I didn't actually know the story that was behind this, the silent auction, about the longtime patron.
We have a painting that is dedicated to him from our very first auction mm-hmm. that hangs in our store, and it's called Patrick's Love. And it's a
wonderful.
Gorgeous painting. And we also have a little picture and bio of him. So if you come to our store, you'll be able to see that and kind of know the story of it.
It's always fascinating to me to hear people's stories about how they become involved with HIV/AIDS fundraising. And everyone has their own story. And it's always very unique and touching for each person. So that's very fascinating.
I don't want to make a general statement, but it seems like it's always when there's been you've been personally touched by AIDS,
yes.
and as far as a friend or a family member, that you really get energized to do something. Because, you know, at some point, we will have a cure for this or a vaccine for it.
Yes.
And
but not yet.
Every effort that we have now that we can do is one step closer to that day when we can be free from the disease.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
But until then, we must fight on.
Absolutely.
Yes. There's no cure in sight.
So come out and support.
Is there anything you want to add? Something else? I know. I'll just sit here and chat.
why don't you give us that contact information for submitting your pieces?
Sure. Again, we're on the corner of Montrose and Hawthorne. Phone number again is 713-521-7278. That's 713-521-7278. The art auction is on February 29th. That's Friday, February 29th. And we'll be taking art starting tomorrow morning, all the way up until February 28th.
And in all sorts of art, again, I want to emphasize that because it's not just paintings, ceramics,
it's not just sculptures, it's whatever you have, whatever you want to bring
in. Even your talent,
I think that's amazing. So it's also, then you will be set up, do the silent auction, and at 9 o'clock that Friday night, you'll close it out, and then you'll award whoever got the highest bid.
Okay. Yes. And what I want to know is, does a Starbucks team walk in the AIDS Walk?
Yes, we do. We've been walking in the AIDS Walk for, I think, five or six years now.
At least six years now. So, yes, we do have a Team Starbucks. So we are asking our customers and anyone who'd like to join Team Starbucks to please come out and join us and support.
You can do that online at AIDS Walk Houston.
Yes, and we do have a Team Starbucks.
And we have Team Starbucks
there.
Registered as well.
And the AIDS Walk again is
March 9th, Sunday. Starting at 10 a.m. At beautiful Sam Houston Park in downtown Houston.
Another Ryan might be just a little bit involved.
He seems well informed.
I've been trying to get people to walk on my team for the last month. So I'm very involved with that.
Come join our team.
Well, I'm a team leader for my own team.
Well, you can bring your whole team with it.
Well, I want to thank Kevin Roach and Angela Lara from Starbucks at the Montrose Starbucks there at Montrose and Hawthorne. Again, it's the silent auction benefiting AIDS Foundation Houston, and it will be on Friday, February 29th. You can bid on any of the artwork between 5
in the morning.
You have 5 p.m. down here.
The 5 p.m. is the big party.
The big party starts at
5
p.m.
So
like you normally do, you show up for your afternoon coffee. Just show up at 5 for your afternoon coffee and stay and bid on some of the artwork.
And don't let the calendar confuse you, because it really is February 29th.
This is a leap year.
All right.
I want to thank all of you for coming. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I want to remind you again that we are in the middle of pledge season here at KPFT, which means that it is your opportunity to pitch in and help, just the same as we do here behind the microphones. Of course, you help all the time by listening to us on the radio. Being a listener is a very important and a very active form of participation in KPFT. We also need for you to call in your pledge of monetary support, because, of course, we have to pay for the lights and all the power that goes out through the transmitter. And the number to call to do that is 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Very easy number to remember, 713-526-KPFT. We have people standing by who are eagerly waiting to take your pledge. It's very easy to do. You can make a one-time pledge in cash, by Visa, by debit card, however you want to do it. We're set up to help you make that as expeditious as possible. You can also set it up to dribble out of your bank account in little amounts every month if you would prefer to do it that way. And of course, as always with any pledge drive, there are those lovely premium gifts which are available at certain pledge levels, and your friendly telephone greeter can tell you all about those if you would like to have something like that. And so we're going to go out to Pledge Central, to the lobby, and we're going to get an update from there, find out how things are going. I understand that we managed to go over our goal for this evening, and we really thank you for bringing us to that point. That's very important, because it shows the station that we have a loyal and dedicated listenership who values this program. It also makes it easier for us next week, because we won't have to do quite so much pledge raising talking.
Absolutely. And remember that 713-526-5738.
713-526-KPFT.
Let us hear that phone ring one more time. 713-526-5738.
And if you don't call immediately, Deb will sing.
Don't threaten them like that. No.
Actually, what we have coming up next after this show
is... Yeah, tell us about it.
It's pre-recorded. I don't even know what it is. It's called From the Vault.
But it'll be good.
It'll be good. It'll be something, that comes from the archive.
What's going on next week?
Thank thanks to all our guests tonight, and to thanks to all our listeners, especially those that pledge, and whoever you are on the phone right now. We love you.
We love you.
That's
we really do. And remember, early vote starts
tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So we want to say thank you by name. So Brian.
Brian with a Y. Mm-hmm.
This is Jennifer and A.
Deborah Bell.
And this is Brian with an I.
And this is Glenn Holt. And coming up on next week's show, I know you're going to want to be sure to tune in next week to Queer Voices. We're going to be having more discussion about the primaries coming up here in Texas. And also, next week, since it's the fourth Monday of the month, we will have our special program in the second hour by J.D. Doyle, his Queer Music Heritage. And this month, he presents an interview with the composer of Bear, as well as a whole bunch of queer music. And I know you're going to want to tune in for that. Have been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Valensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
Picture Show presents Everything's Cool, the documentary about America finally getting global warming in the wake of a chasm between political action and science. Screenings are scheduled from 8 p.m. Saturday, March 8th, and 3 p.m. Sunday, March 9th at Aurora Picture Show, 800 Aurora Street. For more information, visit www.aurorapictureshow.org. Again, www.aurorapictureshow.org. This is KPFT Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.